know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. The Browns halfway through their OTA period as they just wrapped up their fifth OTA practice today, a session that was open to the media. So lots to talk about in terms of today's practice out there. They're also, we're going to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Joe Thomas, the Browns Pro Bowl offensive tackle, will be with us in studio. We will also hear from head coach Mike Pettine after today's OTA. We'll be joined by Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, and we'll play a little after further review. So we've got a loaded show today, but I do want to say, start here, and we're going to hear this press conference later today, but Dylan Sutcliffe, a 9-year-old boy, was signed today to the Cleveland Browns on a one-day contract as the team is celebrating the one-year anniversary of its First and 10 volunteering initiative this week. And in the first year of First and 10, they got 500,000 hours of community service out of the Browns fans. So thank you, Dog Pound, for all that. Now, Dylan is diagnosed with AT, and today he was signed to the team as a defensive lineman. Ray Farmer saying, quote, "We're excited to add another quality player to our roster as we prepare for the 2015 season. When we first connected with Dylan, it was clear he was a competitor who had all of the right attributes to be a contributor to our team." Adding Mike Pettine, quote, "Dylan is definitely a young man who has all of the play like a Brown traits, particularly through his passion, toughness, and relentlessness. We look forward to seeing him bring that energy to practice this afternoon." Just an unbelievable story. He got a customized jersey, number 7. He was so happy, and God bless him and his family. His younger brother also suffers from AT, which is a very, very rare disease. And he got to come in today, watch film with Coach Pettine, go through a press conference, which we will play for you in our first hour. And it's, you know, something like this, is you and I both have children. It's hard to see. It tugs at your heartstrings. But to see him, you know, with the help of Make-A-Wish and the Cleveland Browns, be able to kind of live out at least this dream was a great moment today.
It absolutely was. And, you know, Dylan was, of course, joined by his mom and dad and his younger brother and some individuals, both from the Cleveland Browns and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And the coolest thing for me was, as I walk out to practice at, you know, 12:15, 12:20, they're smack dab in the middle of some 7-on-7 sessions, is, of course, a video just catching these amazing moments of Dylan in his wheelchair, just talking it up with any Browns player that was in his vicinity. This time it happened to be Phil Taylor. Him and Phil Taylor were talking about their favorite numbers, you know, their favorite players, the upcoming season, and what a special event it really was for him today. And then as we made our way into the building to grab a quick bite to eat and then head up to the studio for the show, Dylan at that time was wearing a authentic, you know, brand new Cleveland Browns helmet, you know, with the assistance of his family. Just him understanding what it means to be a Brown. And I think that, as I always say, props or kudos to everyone at Make-A-Wish for fulfilling this dream or wish for Dylan. And then also the Cleveland Browns. And also another part of the culture change that has happened here and them embracing him and fulfilling this dream for him to sign the contract, to have him sit in meetings, out on the practice field, and just make him feel very special today.
It's just an awesome moment. And again, kudos to the Browns for embracing this. And kudos, you know, he got to have time with Alex Shiner, the president of the Browns, the general manager of the Browns, Ray Farmer, the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine. So it was certainly a very special day that everybody involved in this organization got with. And he was out there at practice. We got to see him out there, as you talked about. Just an awesome experience.
It was. And I feel like we didn't get to catch it, the end of practice. But I'm sure, you know, Dylan's going to be right there as every single Brown walks into the locker room. Some, of course, will stop to talk to the media. Sure. But the small little conversations, the high fives, the well wishes and the prayers that are going to be falling upon Dylan in the next 20 minutes from, you know, some of the most gifted individuals in the world who play professional sports might be the most special to Dylan themselves, beyond the press conference, beyond the time with Coach Pettine, but just those guys taking their time and coming down to his level to spend, you know, 3 to 5 seconds with him and just let Dylan know and his family know that they are in her prayers and just pour them on him. And we all know that miracles are possible.
We do, and certainly today one came true for Dylan Sutcliffe, and it was a great thing for the Browns. Again, we'll carry that press conference. We've got Joe Thomas coming up. But let's get into OTAs right now. It's our Ohio Business Machine hot topic today. This is what I think about today's OTA. Again, defense looked very solid, very, very good. One player in particular stood out to me, and I think people are going to be happy about it. I thought Justin Gilbert made a couple of big plays in the 7-on-7 and the team portion of the red zone drills today. Looked very, very good, looked very comfortable, didn't look lost, looked very much in command of his body, was able to bop a couple balls out today, a couple pass breakups, so that was certainly very encouraging and very good to see.
It does, and just to continue that conversation about Justin Gilbert, and I do concur, what was great to see about Justin Gilbert is he wasn't necessarily in the best position on the wide receiver, but when that ball was in the air, he tracked it, he was relentless. And in some cases, you thought it was a reception, but Justin Gilbert continued, you know, knocking them hands down, swiping at that ball, and sure as heck, it popped out for an incompletion. And I just think it's part of being a pro, because Joe Hayden practices like that, Tremont Williams practices like that, the other professionals on this team practice like that. So to see him as a young player embracing what it takes to be a pro and then seeing it happen on the practice field is a great step in the right direction for Justin
Gilbert.
It is.
And what I also noticed about that moment, it was basically back-to-back plays. He had two pass breakups in a row in that red zone session that the defense got fired up for him.
You
can see everybody hooting and hollering, and that's good. That shows that he isn't kind of isolated. He's not aloof as you had maybe heard last year, but that he looked very, very, very good, and it certainly is kind of being embraced by the team.
No doubt, and that's the same thing that we talked about at the end of last week with Johnny Manziel. When Johnny Manziel makes those throws, the first high five he gets is from an excited Josh McCown, and that's what Justin Gilbert is feeling from the defense. It's not only the coaches, it's those players giving him that love, and that's part of the acceptance into the locker room that I've always talked about. As a draft pick, once you prove you can play or make that big play or consistent plays in practice, and then, of course, carry it over into games, that's when you become, you know, fully entrenched in that family aspect that many organizations have in the National Football League.
The other guy who really stood out to me today, and I'll be curious to see, get your thoughts on who stood out to you, Duke Johnson.
The last play that we watched was a middle zone play. It wasn't technically outside zone, and it wasn't for sure inside zone. But he started on his track, and that offensive line just, you know, created this gaping hole. And you wouldn't think that a running back would be able to, you know, put his foot in the ground. You know, Crow puts it and makes and rounds it back into that hole. But Duke put his foot in the ground like LaDainian Tomlinson used to put in his foot in the ground with that jump cut.
I would say it was Shady McCoy-like.
And then he just accelerated through that hole. And it was gone.
And he was gone. He looks very, very good.
He does.
He looks natural as a route runner. He's going to bring a different element to
Absolutely.
This backfield. Crow had a great power run that you could see where he got that head of steam and would have run through a couple arm tackles, probably would have scored in the red zone. Duke Johnson in that team movement drill,
a different type of athlete than the Cleveland Browns have had at running back in many years.
So that was good to see. Justin Gilbert and also Duke Johnson really shining today. Kaywan Williams had a nice pass breakup down there in team 11-on-11.
Taylor Gabriel continues to impress.
Taylor Gabriel gets open more consistently right now than any other receiver on the team.
He does. He does. And also, too, it seems that he's built that trust with Josh McCown to be on the receiving end of not only breaking away and being open, because there's guys open on every play, but can the quarterback find him and deliver the ball accurately? And so far from what we've seen, that's been happening between Josh McCown and Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah, what's impressive about it, too, is that he found him in the back of the end zone.
He's running six-footer routes.
Yeah, those are like throw it up to the goal post, as you said,
exactly.
While we were out there. And he's been doing that and got open on it twice, scoring touchdowns along the back of the end zone for the Cleveland Browns in the team portion of that red zone drill. He looks pretty good as far as I see it in terms of, you know, his ability to get open, playing fast. He seems more confident. And, yes, you're right, he has some type of a rapport there with Josh McCown. The defense, though, especially on the line, our guy Billy Wynn with some nice plays today. He was wreaking a little bit of havoc.
Very active. Randy Starks, very active along the defensive line.
Randy Starks is going to have a big impact on this team.
Yes. One, because of the way he practices. as a pro, he goes hard. He penetrates. He never, you know, he practices the way Taylor Gabriel, as you mentioned, practices on the offensive side of the ball, full go. And if half of those guys on the defensive line adapt to the way in which he plays and then transfer that to the football field, we'll have a nasty defensive line.
I think that we will. They've got to stay healthy. They've got to get through it, but he's got to stay healthy. And again, Duke Johnson, incredibly impressive to me. Justin Gilbert, solid day. Defense overall, a good day. Chris Kirksey showing his ability to go out and cover on the boundary on one of those plays down there in the red zone following Sean Drone out there. Just a strong day overall for the defense. Quarterbacks, Josh McCown still has his he has his moments. Looked good overall. I'd say overall was a day of the defense.
Very windy day, though, too. Tough
conditions.
You know, you really had to fling that ball to cut through the wind because the wind was pushing some throws, carrying some throws, both into it and with the wind. So it was a tough day for the quarterbacks just simply because of the wind.
In the first team session, Johnny had a nice throw, but off of his back foot to Rodney Smith on a slant that was going to go for big yards. Rodney Smith making some plays in that wide receiver
group
as well.
Given an opportunity,
when he's given an opportunity. There was one where Johnny had him throw was a little bit behind, and that's the play that Justin Gilbert was able to muscle the ball away from Rodney Smith. You'd like to see a more accurate throw. That'd be a touchdown, or you'd like to see Rodney Smith get a little bit big and pluck that ball out of there quickly, and it's a touchdown. So still things to work on for the offense. Defensively, look good. As far as the running backs go, somebody asked how about Terrence West. Papa Giorgio asked about him. Looked like Terrence West. Nothing spectacular, nothing awful. Still shuffling a little bit to the outside as opposed to getting out there and going. Crow's the most decisive north-south runner on the team. Duke right now is by far the most explosive, elusive runner on the
team. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, as we said, a few of the plays that Billy Wynn made or Coach Jim O'Neill getting hyped about the defense making stops versus the run. It's so hard without shoulder pads because the offensive line are running their tracks and they're patty caking to try to open these holes. Whereas when you're behind your pads, you're digging, you are literally body moving at that point.
What is the difference in feel for a player when you're in shells versus your pads?
The feel's the same. The feel is the same. You know, but it's just a matter of the full-on execution that you have to have when you're in pads. It's you're just playing with reckless abandon when you're in pads. You know, it's controlled chaos, but in some cases you just have to you play as which you in practice as you want to in the game, but safely. Whereas in the game you can just go.
And we won't see any of that until this fall, until training camp gets underway. You won't see any of those pads, etc. Eulogy 68 says, how does McCown look compared to Hoyer last year at this time? I think he looks like a better quarterback. I just think the way he throws the football is better. He's more accurate, seems to be in command of the offense. Brian Hoyer was very much in command with the offense, and he knew where to go with the ball as well. But just a little bit more accuracy out of McCown, a little more zip on the football.
Right, and of course, I was not here for OTAs last year, but what I draw from Josh McCown right now and the way in which he plays versus the way Brian Hoyer played last year throughout the season is – it just feels like Josh McCown can do more. He can throw the three-step drop a little bit better.
Yep.
He can play from the gun a little bit better than Brian Hoyer. He can move, you know, on the bootlegs, which Brian Hoyer did very well at times. He can do that as well. So I just think you get a more well-rounded quarterback with Josh McCown as opposed to a system guy in Brian Hoyer.
I think that's a very good way to describe it. When we come back, let's open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. A great moment here today at the Cleveland Browns training facility in Berea as Dylan Sutcliffe signed to the team on a one-day contract via Make-A-Wish. A great moment. He's been spending time out there as the players come in, as you talked about. Josh McCown sat down and spent a bunch of time with him. Everybody walking by and welcoming their newest member of the Browns to the team. So we're going to hear his press conference later on. We got Joe Thomas still to come, Jim Donovan still to come, Mike Pettine still to come. Loaded show here this Tuesday edition. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.